I do appreciate you guys being so welcoming to us this morning and letting me ramble in front of you for a few minutes. My only prayer is that God can use me as a vessel for His Word, and I'm going to be focusing on His Word a lot today and a little bit on some of the applications in our lives and the world, but I just like all of us to really focus on the Word. And, the message that I have, someone called a lighter message, and when I say light, I mean easy to understand, but difficult to apply. And that's the way the Word is a lot. But, the Word, being the sword of the Spirit, it should cut us deep. And we should always look into it as the difficult part of applying it and living it. So I have, quite a bit of notes here this morning. I'm trying to get them all arranged. We're going to be reading in James chapter 3. If you would like to turn to James chapter 3, we're going to be, I'm going to be speaking today about the power of our voice and the power of our words. Has anybody ever heard the phrase, sticks and stones, they'll never hurt me, or sticks and stones will hurt me, but words will never hurt me. Sticks and stones will break my bones, words will never hurt me. I've been told that so many times, and I remember my dad when I was very young in elementary school or something, and the kids would bully me, call me names, things like that. He'd say, you have the comeback. You say, I know you are, but what am I? And I thought I really had it figured out. I've got the quip. I've got the response. And, their words, they're not going to bother me. I wonder why I didn't have any friends saying stuff like that. I know you are, but what am I? But really, I mean, those words, they do hurt. And that phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words never hurt me. I mean, is that really true? Hey, our words are really, and the Bible tells us, our words are extremely powerful. In fact, more powerful than the sticks and stones. The words that we say and the words that we think, because our thoughts, they come from words. Those words, just a few of them, can change the entire world, for better or for worse. They can change the entire world. And, on a personal note, each one of us, with just a few words in a few seconds, we can change somebody's life forever. We can irreparably destroy a relationship. Okay, whether these words came from our heart or maybe they just came in a moment, without a filter. Okay, the words that we say, they're permanent and they can greatly affect ourselves and others. So I invite you, if you would, this morning, we're going to read God's word, James chapter 3 in verse 2 to 6. If you would stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. In James chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, our supporting passage this morning. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we may turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And I'd like to pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for all of the peace and securities that you bring us, and for the freedoms that we have to be able to worship you and read your word in this country. Thank you for the good weather and the safety that we've all been able to meet together in person and fellowship together. Please be with me that I can preach your word in truth and with everybody's hearts and minds that they would be open to receive it as you intended. I ask this in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. So I did a little bit of reading, and it's interesting. I said our thoughts, they come from language, and actually the way that you think, it's all dependent on the language that you speak. Our thoughts are always words, and our dreams, they are words. Okay, and I read here. This is from a scientist, but they said that recently in neuroplasticity, and Jesus taught us this thousands of years ago, but science, it's amazing how many times it supports the truth that God gave us. Sometimes they get some things right. And, you know, recently these studies are saying that the words and thoughts that we think not only change the structure of our brains, but even lead to the regrowth of brain cells. Okay, the words in your mind, your thoughts, and the words that you say, they have a physical change in who you are. All right, they really guide who we are, and that's really what this passage is about. So verse 2, in many things we offend all, you know, we all sin. In verse 2, James says, if any man offends not in word, the same as a perfect man. All right, that's the power of the tongue. He says, if we were able to control our tongue and not sin in word, the whole body would follow. Okay, that's how strongly it can direct us. And it's not to say that some of us, through our tongue, are able to become perfect. In just the very first words he said, he made that very clear, for many things we offend all. Okay, all of us offend in many ways. We sin, there's really no limit to the ways that we sin against God. And so the tongue, while if we could control it, had the power to make us perfect, we ultimately cannot. And actually, in verse 8, later on, it says, James says, no man can tame the tongue, and it is full of evil. So the tongue is really like a great responsibility that we have, because it has the power to change our lives, it has the power to change the whole course of our bodies, and yet it is full of evil. It's something that we have to actively try to manage and actively try to work with. So in verse 3 and 4, we are given a very good illustration of what this means, how the tongue is able to control our bodies and our lives. So we have first the horse, okay, and the horse, you know, has anybody ever been kicked by a horse here? I'm grateful that I have not. They're a lot bigger and stronger than us, right? Even today, we still measure our vehicles and everything in horsepower, because they are the workhorses that are really built our country. And yet, us being so feeble compared to a horse, it can completely master it and control it and use it for our own purposes using just a cord, you know, the reins and the bit in their mouth. Just this little bit in their mouth, like our own tongue, can control the direction and it really make their whole body obey what we would like. And the ship is an even more vivid example, because, you know, these ships are enormous. We've seen today we have incredible ships, just unimaginable size and power, and whether it be wind or the engines that they possess, I mean, when that ship is moving, nothing is stopping it, right? If that ship loses control of its direction and there's something in the way, especially these large ships, that something is going to be no more, okay? Yet, one man, as feeble as they might be with a wheel or other device, can steer the rudder and control that huge ship. And I don't know if you've ever seen some of these cruise, or I guess it's the large cruise ships. I'm just thinking in my head of some of the maneuvers that they make to go into the dock with just the controls. They'll spin that thing around and come in backwards within a few inches of the dock. If they even hit the dock, they would destroy it. But they can spin that thing around because this rudder and the controls that they have has the power to direct where the ship goes. Right? And that's just like our tongues, okay? The damage that we can do and the good that we can do with our tongues is really unimaginable. We don't even understand all of the ways that we affect other people and we affect God's kingdom, okay? If you've ever witnessed to somebody and planted a seed and it was a complete wash, a complete dud, they rejected it, you don't know what happens later in that person's life. You don't understand, and we may never know that person. In 20 years, they might remember the words that you said, and the Spirit might use that to lead that person to salvation. All right, but also our negative words. Has anybody ever remembered something that somebody said, it stuck with them for the rest of your life? I think most of us probably remember a few things that people have said, and it just sticks with us. You know, something about it. It's good, it's bad, it's interesting, I learned something. Do you think that person knew before they said that it would stick with you forever? Any moment that we're speaking, those words that we say, beyond our control, might be remembered by somebody forever. It might change their life, okay? It might do a lot of evil. Satan can use our words to do evil as well. Okay? But we don't know. That's why we have to guard our tongue. So in this, you know, in the horse and the ship, we both have the rider and the captain, the person who is controlling the horse and the ship. This person is representing our minds because, you know, we're imperfect people and we have, you know, we might have storms that we need to navigate and we might have conflicting thoughts enter into our mind. Remember, our thoughts are, they will become our words. And so our minds, and we have, you know, we have the Spirit to guide us and help us and to make the decisions about the words that come out of our mouths, because we might not be able to control all of our thoughts. We might not be able to control our temptations or our tendencies, you know, like we speak without thinking. Okay, we need to think first. The captain and the rider are our minds thinking and making a decision about which words are going to come out of our mouths and become permanent and ultimately change the course of our lives. So I wrote here, you know, the horse, if we just left the horse to its own devices, it can wander in the wilderness forever. And the ship, if also just abandoned, will be lost at sea, swept away, and ultimately destroyed. Right? But the, you know, the discerning captain and rider, using the instruments available to us, the map, they can make the decisions to guide that horse or that ship to safety. And the storm, the wilderness, the things that blow these ships, these horses away, this is deception, and it is everywhere. All right, we live in a great country and a Christian nation. We talk about in Sunday school how grateful we are that we don't suffer the persecutions that some Christians have suffered. You know, really, we are in a great situation here. And yet, you know, in 1 Peter, explains that the devil is like a roaring lion prowling around, seeking somebody to devour. And here, as well as at any time in history, that same lion is prowling around looking for people to devour, looking for different things that he can use to lead us astray. In verse 5 and 6, we have another comparison, our speech to the fire. And a lot of times we think about fire as being the fires of hell, of torment, of punishment. And this is a little bit different, although it can still be compared. Here we're comparing the tongue to a fire that spreads and consumes everything in its path. All right? A fire has the power to destroy a forest, a city, to kill. Okay, the fire can really, once it grows, it is almost impossible to control. Think about today, all the forest fires and the difficulty that we've had at containing them. It's really almost beyond our power to be able to control these fires once they grow, once they get out of control. And, you know, in verse 5 and 6 here, we're comparing our tongue to that fire with a small spark, just a small beginning, right? Every word you say is important. Every thought that you have, it matters. Just the one spark, the one beginning, is enough to create a forest fire, a wildfire, that is out of control and can do a lot of harm. In verse 6, we do compare it to the destruction done by that fire. Here it says, I want to point out some of the words that are used here in the Bible. Done on the course of nature, it says, setteth on fire the course of our nature. The course of our nature is our lives, our entire lives, and everything that we do. It's our own course that we follow. And our tongue has the power to set that entire course on fire. And then it continues to say, and is set on fire of hell. And that's the nature of the fire. Okay, we said that the tongue is full of evil. And this fire that the tongue creates, it is of hell, meaning demonic, satanic. Okay, it has all of these influences from our spiritual nature in it that can cause it to do this destruction. So I'd like to turn and read. I have one other passage that I want to look at, and a few other supporting verses. But I'm going to turn back to Matthew, chapter 12, and you know we talk a lot as Baptists, and as you know, as our faith shows us that we are saved by faith, and God cares about our heart. And so I'm talking a lot about acts, you know, our actions with these words and the things that we do. And a lot of times we come to think of those things as secondary to our faith. We say what is most important is our faith, our belief in God and his redemption. And yes, we're all going to make mistakes and we're all going to use our words incorrectly. And that is true. But I just want to talk about some of the reasons why our tongue is so important and why so much emphasis is placed on it. So Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33-37. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I'm actually going to stop right there. I really want to focus on this verse 34, but there's a few more. All the verses that I give you guys today, sometimes I might just give a reference. I'd encourage all of you to go back and read those, and always read in context. Go back and read before and after, and read what is intended behind these scriptures. But in verse 34, this is a very important verse for the message this morning. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we talked about we all have a decision-making process, right? We think, we see the different things that we could say, our thoughts, and we're choosing the words that we want to come out. I said at the beginning, maybe that thing that you said, you didn't really mean. You might have just popped in and it came out without thinking, but you know, that's not exempt. That's not different than when we analyze what we should say and then make an incorrect decision. If we say something just off the cuff and it didn't turn out too well, we're told that came from our heart. All right? The devil, Satan, he has power. Okay, and he has power to tempt. He does not have power to put words in your mouth. That's us. That's our free will. Okay. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. So how can we control our tongues if they are so powerful and they're so evil that they can direct our whole lives? How can we change our tongues? Well, if the words that come out of our mouth, they ultimately come from our heart, then where should our focus be? On our heart. I wrote here, you know, our thoughts change our heart. Our heart produces speech, and our speech directs our entire life. This is like a feedback loop, okay, a feedback loop of positive reinforcement, okay, and that's how this fire spreads. I said the words feedback loop of positive reinforcement. That's modern terminology, but they understood it, and James wrote it when he says that the fire from a little spark can spread and consume your entire life. Okay, a feedback loop. We have these thoughts, and it starts there, and we give in to these thoughts, evil ones. They enter into our heart. They change our heart, and out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, whatever we are experiencing, that's what we speak. And when we speak, it becomes permanent. Not just ourselves, because we've already said here, you know, remember the neuroplasticity, people have just figured this out apparently, that when we say something, it physically changes who we are, but spiritually and to other people. Is it reasonable to say that you can be a good Christian and have a heart of faith, but spew evil to everybody? James would say no. But if we do that, let's just assume that we did have a good heart of faith and we misused our tongue frequently or even infrequently. Let's say we did it one time and one person heard it, and that's the only thing they ever heard from you. All right, so this feedback loop, it changes who we are spiritually and physically, but also other people, when they see what we're doing, it affects our witness, and it can tarnish our witness. If that's the thing that you misspoke, if that's the only thing somebody ever heard of you, then they would say that person doesn't have faith. You know, they I know that they believe in God and they put their faith in Jesus, but this that they're saying just does not add up, and that's not the God for me. That's what a lot of the people say today. They say, you know, the Christians, they say that they believe in love and forgiveness, but then I hear all of these Christians speaking, and that's not love to me. Right? And this is not fair to us, because there's a lot of Christians and so-called Christians, and they say a lot of things, and sometimes it puts a bad name on all of us. But that's why we all have a responsibility to our tongue. Just a little more about the power of the tongue. These words, they matter because they come from the heart, and that's what God cares about. Think about the good that we can do with our tongue and the evil. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Okay? The mouth, the confession that we make, that's not what saves us, so don't let me misspeak with my words, but that matters to God because it comes from our heart. Okay? We believe in our heart and confess with our mouths. But I also wrote another scripture here, Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, which happens to be right before what we just read. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven of him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven of him, neither in this world nor the world to come. And when the Spirit convicts us, when the Spirit enters into our heart and convicts us of our sins, and we reject it with our words, we speak against it, it says that cannot be forgiven of us. I mean, if we reject God's forgiveness and we say, no, this gift, I will not accept it, and whatever else we might have to say about it, then God will not forgive us. We have to accept that gift of ourselves. So with our words, we can deny Christ, we can reject his kingdom, or we can accept it. And in both of these verses, it comes from our words because the words came from our heart. So I have one more point this morning, and that's the words that you listen to will influence you. Okay, this is my last point here. I did a little bit more reading, and I saw that people today, they process 100,000 to 200,000 words per day. And that's hard for me to believe. I did the math, and that's at least one a second. If you know me, my background is in math, and so I got to run the numbers. But they estimate 100,000 to 200,000 words per day we ingest, we process in some way. Some of it is very active, like the way you're listening to me now. Thank you. And some of it's very passive. You know, you just hear it going on. You might acknowledge it, but it's not a focus. 200 years ago, this is an even rougher estimate, but 200 years ago, they said it was less than 10,000. So, some of the studies I saw said less than 5,000. So we're looking at 10 times less, 20 times less words that they used to use 200 years ago. And I imagine back in Jesus' day, without technology, they were getting a lot less words. And so the words that they did speak and the words that they did listen to held a lot of meaning. They had a lot of respect for the words they get. Back in those days, one of the most valuable things that you could have is a book and the words of the book, because it was so difficult for them to come across. Okay. So today, we have all these words we ingest every day. We have technology, TV, radio, the internet. We have phone calls, text messages, all of this stuff with technology. Plus, it's just the number of people in the world. It's become very crowded. All right, the airwaves, whether it's in just speaking like I am today or whether it's online, they're very overcrowded, and people become desperate for attention. All right, everybody wants to be heard, and so that changes the way people talk, and it changes the way we see their words. So back when they had so few words, they had a different value on those words, and they understood this a little bit better. But today, words have become cheap. Right, there's a lot of them, and they become cheap. And society today has used that to degrade and to lower the importance of the words that we say. All right, think about like the language people use and how quick they are to speak and to spew whatever's in their minds. And to them, because of all of these words out there and because of the competition for attention, they don't really see them as that important. There's less filter. It's more important to get them out. Also, and I think we're all aware and can all agree that the types of words that are said because this competition for attention, people say more and more radicalized things. And even if they don't, they are quickly overwashed with the radical things that other people are saying. Okay, today, everything that you see online is determined by some algorithm that decides what's going to be the most engaging, whether it's a news, whether it's just straight from social media or whether it's like a trusted news source. All of them are running algorithms with AI, looking at all of the people and what do people listen to, what do people engage with. That's what we're going to show them. So there's so much words being spread around that people hold a lower value to them. And the words that we see commonly are the ones that are severe, radicalized, or otherwise just going to grab your attention and grab your interest. Okay, remember, the words that you listen to will influence you. You know, Satan uses this today. I said he doesn't have the power to change the words coming out of your mouth. Okay, but he can influence our society, and this is a perfect situation for him, being the deceiver, that he can degrade the meaning of our words so that they hold very little value to us, and we are willing to say more and more and more things with less care and less meaning to them, even though those words that we're saying, they still hold the power to change our lives. Right? Even though they seem less important, they still hold the power to change our lives, just as we read in James. So in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 17, it says, "Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" Draught being like a drain or a sink. Okay, so we have more imagery here. The things that we consume become who we are. It goes through our belly. Okay, what happens in the belly? It's digested. We pull some things out of it, nutrients. We cast some things away. Okay, the waste, down the drain it goes. And, you know, in this verse here, it's, do you not understand? These people had a difficult time understanding this in their day when words carried a greater meaning. Okay? Think of the way we see this now with our words having so much less of a meaning. And think about the way I really like this imagery of the way we process food being like the way we process words. Right? Think about the way we process food. If I eat some junk, is it going to make me unhealthy? Not necessarily. If I exercise and I eat good nutrient food and I have a cookie for dessert, my body can process that food and it can be healthy. And the whole can remain healthy as I cast out the waste from the junk that I consumed. But if I eat junk every single meal and I neglect my body, our digestive system becomes overwhelmed with this stuff that it does not need, that it does not want. And our body loses the ability to process all of this food that we give it when we are overwhelming it with the bad, and then we become unhealthy. Jesus, you know, one of the things that Jesus is known for is for being willing to associate with people of low position. Right? That's something that we should admire about Jesus, and we should strive in our own lives. Okay, we live in the world, and we are going to hear and we are going to see these negative things, these evil things and words on a daily basis, whether we try to or not. And some people try very hard not to, but we are going to. But the key here is, you know, what are we surrounding ourselves with? What are we living every day? Jesus, you know, he was known to speak and spend time with prostitutes and the lowest members of society, tax collectors. But what was he doing when he spent time with these people? He was sharing the truth. He was speaking of godly things, and these people were, you know, many of them repenting and turning away from those ways. And, you know, in addition to the people that he was spending time with, on that end, he also surrounded himself with his disciples and people that were going to be a good influence and go and spread the truth with him. So even Jesus, though he had the power to avoid all of this junk and you know, to pull it all in and to reject it and not sin, even he is still living his life surrounded by the truth and trying to spread it to these other sources. So the things that we consume, the words that we hear, they are going to shape our lives because we, you know, if we surround ourselves with these every single day and we're not teaching the truth, we're not speaking about the word, okay, we have fellowship with our other believers, okay? If that's not the focus of our life, then when we have these other little things come in, a spark, okay, it will spread and it will begin to take over our hearts. From our hearts come our words, which will alter the course of our lives, change the entire direction of our lives. It becomes a wildfire that is so out of control that, well, what does out of control mean? It can be to a point where it is very difficult to bring it back. So God's word, that should be what's in our heart. Surround ourselves with the truth and hide God's word in our heart. Let that be what we focus on so that whenever out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, maybe we don't think too much. Our heart is full of the truth. And what comes out of our mouth is the truth. And remember, with the power that these words can destroy also comes the power that God can use them to greater his kingdom. And when we speak the truth, we don't know how big of an impact that can have on somebody else's life or our own. Okay, because remember, they change who you are. They change your mind. You know, in verse one of our original passage here in James, in verse one here it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And you know, we have a great warning against being double-minded. Right, our sinful nature can cause us to be led astray. Where you know we're trying to live in the truth, but we give into our sinful nature and we're double-minded. Later in verse 10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not so to be." So this is really the way of somebody who does not watch their tongue and does not live in the truth. Okay, if they are not living in the truth and not letting the truth fill their heart and change their lives, then we start to see two things. We see the outward maybe commitment to God, the outward profession of their faith, but then the fruits of that faith, we see another side. All right, and this is the double-minded man. It is part of our sinful nature that we will have a good and a bad. Right, that's part of our sinful nature, but we have a warning about letting that bad grow to a point where it becomes a wildfire and it takes over our lives. At this time, I'd like to open us or invite us to have an invitation. If musicians would like to play, and if you feel the Spirit leading you to come to the altar to pray, whether it be about your tongue, about salvation, about something else that God is working in your life, I'd like to invite you to have a silent invitation with us as we pray together for what God has laid on our hearts this morning. And we should come into the church every day, time we come into the church, for God to change our hearts and to pray for what God would have us to do.